Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard. And today, my co-host, my business partner, my best friend, Pamela Caldwell.
Oh, what an introduction. I feel so important.
Oh, hilarious. So great to have you back.
Thanks.
Now, we are doing this episode today because, as you can probably tell from the tone of our voices and the upbeat energy that we have today, we are on a high still from our recent Sisterhood social event, and we wanted to do a real reflection, recap, and also take you behind the scenes to actually what happens before the events come into the world, because there's a lot of energy and effort, I guess, that goes behind them. And it's a real labor of love. It's a real passion project. It's really sort of, I guess, thought about long and hard before the event actually happens. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just really important to sort of, like, I guess, go through it all and really take people on that journey, because this was our seventh event now.
Yes, seventh.
Brand new venue, biggest, obviously, space that we've had to date. So let's just start there, right? Because when we first saw, we'll go back in further. So the last event we've always done in a beautiful space in the RMIT building, but the max capacity we could have in that is 80. And the last event that we held, we did sort of feel, is it time now to push ourselves? Mm. Because we both came away from that event last time, not this one, just gone, the one before that in June, feeling really, you know, proud and excited and enthusiastic, but also maybe felt this sense of like, have we sort of maybe come to the end of our comfort zone now? Are we getting too comfortable? Are we getting a bit too maybe even complacent with it? And I don't like that feeling, because I think that's when mistakes can get made. You stop caring as much. And I think we both came away from it last time feeling like that was amazing, but are we ready now to push ourselves to do something a bit bigger and get a bigger space and to really take a bit of a risk and see if that pays off for us? So that was kind of what we discussed before the one just gone. So I think it's really important to honor that, because I think as soon as you continue to stay in that comfort zone, I think that's the end of growth. And I think had we stayed in that same event again, I don't think we would feel the same way we feel now. I think we would have been like, that was great, but maybe have the same sort of feeling like, could we have pushed ourselves? Could we have gone bigger? Could that be better? And I don't like feeling that way. I like coming away from these events or anything I do, feeling the sense of progress and feeling proud. And that's definitely what I felt from this event just gone. So yeah, that was a sort of a big moment for us, wasn't it, after the last one?
Yeah, it was, right? And if you actually think back to the first event, I mean, the nerves, I felt so nervous. Mm-hmm. More than I felt excited, right? I was really, really nervous. It was a very uncomfortable situation for me. I just feel I'm sitting at the front, all eyes on me. That's the kind of thing that makes me feel really uncomfortable. And we gave that space 6 events. Mm-hmm. And it was a great space for us. But yeah, comfortable. Mm-hmm. The last event, I didn't feel the excitement build up. It became something that we do.
Yes.
Very samey.
Yeah.
Very comfortable. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, you pick your coffee shop in the morning, you know, routine. It felt routine.
Yeah.
Because we knew the space so well. We knew the setup so well. Yeah. There was just like, there wasn't a build up. We just like showed up, mm-hmm. had a great night. Mm-hmm. But there's something that keeps you on your toes if something's a little bit unknown. Yeah. And I must admit, I do feel that it was time, but not only for us. I feel as though it was, we have to honor our community as well and our Sisterhood Club community. And there's a lot of women and men that beautifully have now came to all 6, mm-hmm. well, the 7th event, but they mm-hmm. had came to all events mm-hmm. in the same venue. And, you know, we do touch points with them and we ask their opinion, we get mm-hmm. feedback. And even some of our community that had been to every event, I think they were ready to show up at a different venue and just have something a little bit different. So there you go, the power of change. Mm-hmm. The only thing that is constant in life is change. And mm-hmm. I do feel as though it was time to get the nervous jitters back, push ourselves that little bit further, go a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to put it out there. We absolutely smashed it. The event was amazing.
Yeah, I really, really did enjoy it. But, you know, even when you were just saying then, I was smiling as you taking us back to like the first couple that we did, how we hustled to sell 50 tickets, you know, like we were literally messaging like one-on-one people. Like we were just really had to hustle to get those first 50 tickets sold.
And remember when we sold our first ever ticket? We're like, I know. Oh my God, we're doing it.
I think it's really easy just to sort of like skim over that and just be like, oh yeah, but it's been a journey. It's been 2 years. It's been 2 years of consistency. And I think that's a really important message for just to say to the community that anything good takes time, right? You have to be willing to go on that journey. And just to start, like we just began, we found a venue and we thought, okay, max people in here, we can get about 80. The first event we had around 50 people.
Yeah.
The next event we had about sort of the same, similar sort of size. Then it went to like 60, then it went to 80, then 80 again, and then sort of just over 80. And then finally we had to get to a different venue. But had we just started, right, had we done that first event and, you know, it took a lot of energy, it took a lot of work and 50 people came, we had to really hustle to get those 50 people there because nobody knew what Sister Club was. It wasn't a brand. It wasn't anything at that point. It was our first event that you and I had ever ran. We could have gone like, God, that was a lot of effort and a lot of work just to put that event on, right? That been there, done that, let's move on. But instead we were like, what can we learn? How can we make the next one better? And we've constantly asked ourselves that question, which is why now obviously the event just gone was a success, like you just said. But that hasn't just happened. And I want people to really understand that because I'm sure that, you know, and I had people come up to say it, like, this is amazing. Like, how do you fit all this in with your full-time job and your recruitment business as well? And I won't lie, it's a lot. It really is a lot, but it is worth it. And I don't want people to sort of think that it was a quote unquote overnight success or that just happened or that just came together. It's been 2 years in the making. Yeah. It's been a lot of hard work and, but it has been worth it because when you get amazing feedback, like we've had, we feel the way we do, God, it's worth it. But I think that's a really important life lesson of the importance of persistence, progress over perfection, taking one step in front of the other, keep going, keep going, keep going. And if you put in the effort and the energy, it will pay off. So yeah, it hasn't been definitely overnight. And the event just gone was amazing. We're going to talk about all sort of our key takeaways from the speakers and things. And hopefully some of you have listened to the Tech Gala panel. And if you haven't, please go and listen to that because it was so incredible. Like the knowledge bombs coming from people were just absolutely incredible. But I want to just also say one final thing before we move on about the panel. So when we first walked into that event space, you and I literally looked at each other and were like, this is big. And it's amazing what comes up in those moments. Like, could we feel this? What if we don't feel this? What if only like 40 people turn up? It's that time of year where things start getting busy. And like the doubt came in, the imposter syndrome came up. And we were like looking at each other like, should we do it? Should we do it? Should we do it? Now in that moment, the safe option was stick to what you know. Let's stay to our MIT. Like, even if it's only 50 people turn up, it's still going to feel like it's a busy event. We're not going to have an empty room of like, you know, 10 people chit-chatting and it's not going to feel empty. We could have done that. That was the easy option. The tougher option with the more, I guess, benefits attached was just taking the risk and being like, let's do it. And I'm so pleased that we did. But again, it's those moments in life where you have to back yourself and say, now we got this, we're going to do this, let's go. But it was that fork in the road moment where the easy option was to go, let's stick to what do we know, we're not ready for this yet, but we did it. And I'm so pleased that we did.
Yeah, it was just such a spectacular night made by not only the panelists who honestly were such amazing storytellers. They brought stories, they brought humor, they brought facts, they brought takeaways that were so easy to implement. That's how
vulnerability as well.
The vulnerability there, but also the community that showed up.
Yeah.
Right. The energy in the room was just fantastic. Everyone brought the best versions of themselves. But again, I think that the venue really made the night as well. It was just a really good feeling. It was an amazing setup, really well for people to actually connect and mingle. It honestly was an outstanding event. And I know that over the Christmas break, I am going to be really intentional about the key takeaways I actually got, which obviously we're going to speak about, and actually implement a couple of things, which I think when you come away from an event, it's actually important to really take action.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And there's a few things that I'm definitely going to do over Christmas just to keep the brain stimulated and firing.
Absolutely. And that's why we're doing this episode now, right? Because I'm sure a lot of people listen to the panel and go, oh, it's really great things in there. You've got to act on it, right? Mm-hmm. We don't just host these events just to network, just to have a glass of wine. We host them to really encourage every single person in that room and every single person that listens to it on the podcast to take action, to get in the driver's seat of their own career and their own lives. Mm-hmm. And what was said at the event was so important for anybody who is taking their career and their future seriously, because whether we like it or not, the world is about to change and change dramatically and change quickly. And we can either be victims of that, or we can be creators. And I want to be a creator. I want to listen to what's being said and execute and learn. So let's talk about the event highlights first. So the first panelist, if you have not connected with her on LinkedIn, go and do so. She is how can I describe Catherine Boychuk? She has been in mine and Pam's corner since the moment that we had her on the podcast, when we were sort of talking about crypto NFTs, when she was really heavily involved in that. And, you know, she definitely still is and very much involved in that space. But she is such a big advocate for women in tech. She is such a supporter. She has been amazing to you and I. And I have called her out of the blue. She's now the CTO of EY, right? And I've got her mobile and phone number. And I know if I need Catherine, I will call her. She might not pick up immediately, but she will always call me back and check in. Hey, Georgie, how are you? And having someone like that in your corner, having someone like that just to reach out to and be a big advocate for you, I just think it's absolutely wonderful. And I don't take that lightly. I'm very, very grateful for Catherine. She's been a really incredible female to have in our lives. And she's been a very big supporter of you and I. And I'm very, very grateful for her.
Yeah. I think with Catherine, it's actually quite hard to just get, you know, when sometimes in life you just meet those people that are an uplifting energy force.
Yeah, 100%.
That's how I feel when I'm around Catherine.
Yeah.
When, you know, you've got, you know, what's that you always say? You are the five.
Oh, the average of the five people you hang around with.
The five people you hang around with, right? When I am around Catherine, I feel so inspired to level up my career, to back myself, to take that next step. So I know that any time we have, you know, threw a few ideas around and we land on what we feel would be the right next step, but we're maybe a bit, I know that in those moments that we call Catherine, we're doing it.
Oh,
we're absolutely doing it. You know, a very uplifting individual that will also give you raw, honest opinions and make you just think in a different way. So if you have not connected with her, you're, please do so.
Yeah.
She is very uplifting, very intelligent, very sophisticated, but she is a massive advocate for women pushing forward with their careers.
And here's an example, right, of someone who walks their talk. When I called her up, right, and I obviously to ask her to be on the panel, hey, Catherine, how are you doing? So we are, what do you need? What do you know? What do you want? What do you want from me? Tell me where I need to be. Tell me what I need to do. And I was like, I hadn't even said, I hadn't even asked. And she was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I just thought, how many people get to the top and just sort of forget about others or think about the whole world revolves around them? Catherine is not that sort of person. So again, I just want to just massive shout out. I can't speak high enough about this woman. And she's definitely, I can see why she is in the position that she's in. So she made some very, very important points that I want to really address now. So the first thing that she said is that adopting AI is absolutely non-negotiable. It is, we cannot opt out of it, especially as women, especially as sort of, if you're a parent, if you're a mom and you've got young daughters, tech is non-negotiable now. If you want to set your children up for success in this new world, they have to, absolutely have to study technology. Otherwise, because this is going to be part of our future, whether we like it or not, right? Otherwise they will fall behind. So she reinforced that opting out of technology is not an option. And that was something she was very, very, I'm going to use the word stern with to the audience, because she knows and can see what's coming. And if we don't embrace it, we will get left behind. But the issue is as well that she says there's actually not enough people, not enough graduates coming through with those tech background. Yeah. So we actually need to transition 200,000 women to change careers into tech.
Yeah.
And that's something she's really advocating for as well. And we advocate for, which is why we do Sister Club, mm-hmm. because it's not difficult. You just have to be willing, right? You have, and we've talked about this. We're not going to go into depth about this today, but transferable skills, we all have them. Mm-hmm. If you're a good problem solver, if you're great with time management, like there's so many roles. If you're good on Excel, like there's so many things, hard skills, soft skills that you can transition across into having a very, very successful technology career.
Yeah. Look, I completely agree. And I think we all have a responsibility to make sure that we are growing and evolving with the times.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with AI and the future of tech or not, at this point, it doesn't matter. You either adopt it or you are at risk of being completely and utterly left behind, mm-hmm. because the pace of change, I cannot even anticipate what is next. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give an example because this was a real life scenario. So when I was younger, I actually used to work in the local pub. My mum had worked in the bar. Basically, she worked there for 30 years. It was a job that she did because it was social and also gave her the flexibility to be able to be at home with my brother and I. Now, there was a certain stage of my mum's career where it went from the tills. My mum was great with maths. She didn't even count, 10 pints, 2 whiskies, whatever. She knew how much it was, took the money, gave the change. The till system changed over and the pub put in touchscreen tills. Right, now, how old-fashioned does that sound now, right? But that was such an evolution. Now, my mum had never been exposed to quote-unquote technology. She was petrified. And in actual fact, her brain was struggling to keep up with how to actually work the touch screen tills, to the point that she got herself in such a state, she thought she was going to have to give up her much loved job. She honestly could not understand how to operate these tills. It took her ages. We all had the patience with her. We helped her through it. But my point being, my mum went from not using any technology to having to use a touchscreen till. And she thought that she was going to lose her job because she just couldn't get to grips with it. Mm. Now, if you put off trying to use AI and these types of tools for the next few years, it's coming. So if you go from zero to trying to get your head around whatever this looks like in 2 or 3 years' time, you are going to be so overwhelmed that you potentially could be at risk of losing your job, because you have to keep up with the pace of change. You have to get involved. You have to evolve. You have to pay attention to what subtle changes are happening in the world around about you to remain at the forefront of what that means for your job. It was such a powerful, powerful panel.
Yeah.
And I'm so pleased that Catherine and the rest of the women gave some real, raw, honest examples about what that could look like. But technology is the future and we all have to embrace it. One of the things that Catherine actually said that I felt was honestly just so subtle, right? If you have children, watch them. If you have kids in your family, watch them. They don't type. They talk into their phones. I type. It would be such a hard thing for me to make that change. But Catherine was like, stop typing, start speaking into your phone, start coaching the tools that you use it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just these subtle things that the generations behind us do differently. Mm-hmm. And we all need to sit up and pay attention to that, because that is going to be the way of the future.
Yeah, 100%. She also said delete Google, and I was like, but actually I thought to myself, I actually don't often use Google anymore.
Me neither.
So it's going to look, that's what I mean. These common platforms that we've been so used to using, mm-hmm. they are changing at a rapid pace. And again, they'll have to evolve or they'll die out as well, because ChatGPT is where a lot of people are getting their information from these days. And it's like, and then we're going to have like co-pilots. We're going to have like AI bots. We're going to have, like almost like virtual assistants with AI, so it's going to be a very interesting world. But point that Catherine kept on emphasizing was, it is no longer optional. We have to embrace it. So the one thing that you and I talked about as well, that she said, we're both going to look into doing a prompt engineering course. Mm-hmm. So we'll obviously I've already started looking into one actually that I might do over the, well, I'm going to do over the Christmas break. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a 6-7 hour course, but again, prompt engineering, just to really make sure that I'm utilizing ChatGPT in the best way. And so I'm going to be doing that over the Christmas break, but keep learning. Basically, we cannot afford to ignore AI. It's coming. And if we want to stay ahead in our careers, we need to embrace it. Second panelist, Kath Blackham. Wow. I mean, she just brought an element of joy and fun and inspiration to the evening. I just absolutely just loved her whole, I guess, perspectives on innovation and AI. It was amazing. But obviously she's got her own agency, Versus AI. So she, again, is at the forefront of innovation, working with a lot of large companies to really sort of embrace the technology. But she has a very strong view on how AI can really enhance our productivity and actually reduce our workload, meaning that we could actually work less, aka go to a 4-day work week. She is a very, very big advocate for that. She also spoke heavily about supporting women through all stages of their careers and lives. And in particular, and I noticed the whole room, like literally just pay attention and sit up, yeah, all the women, when she talked about supporting women through the menopause. And she's like, every single woman in this room, whether you're 20, 30, 40, you're going to go through the menopause. And if you're in your 50s and 60s, you are going through the menopause. But as we also know, it's the premenopause as well that are actually just as bad as actually when you go through the menopause. So it was just so refreshing to have somebody speak so openly, honestly about her experiences, how we need to support women. It's something we're all going to go through as women. And I think it's just this whole like shame and embarrassment around it, but it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's like women, we go through so much hormones, like periods every single month. And then we go, like, if you have a child, you go through all the hormones of, you know, raising that child, mm-hmm, and the aftermath of that. Like we are literally like vessels of hormones and emotions. And I mean, I can't say menopause is something I'm particularly looking forward to. I manage it as best I can, but it is something that I really want to make sure that I'm prepared for. And again, I want to make sure our community are prepared for, and that it can be spoken about in a really safe, honest, open forum like it was the other night. So hats off to Kath for bringing that up, because it is something that doesn't get discussed enough, and I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. I am here for all these conversations. Bring them up, you know, like let's talk openly. Let's not put shame and sort of like, you know, we don't talk about that. Like I want it to be open and honest. So she was amazing. And the other one thing that she said, which just always reminds me that I'm not alone when she said it, is that we all struggle with imposter syndrome, and how as her business has got more and more successful, it's come up even more for her. Like, who is she to do this? Like, who does she think she is? She's not good enough. She's not this, she's not that. So it was just interesting to hear from somebody that is at the top of her game, like flying to America every 2 weeks. She's got an apartment in New York. She's traveling the whole world, speaking, running her businesses. She's also a mom. Like she's just, you know, trying to balance and blend all these different things. And she struggles, like us all, with that imposter syndrome, with that not feeling good enough. Yeah. She was incredible.
She was so good. And you know, the 4-day work week, I was interested because you had mentioned to me, you had obviously had Kath on the podcast, so you knew that she was a really big advocate of the 4-day work week. And it was a conversation I was actually really interested to hear her speak to, because it's a huge mindset shift that, like, how does that work? How would that look? Right. And the reality is, people spend so much of their lives focusing on working and working the 5 days. What's your weekend filled with? Cleaning, food prep, getting ready for the week ahead. Almost the way that we all work and have operated, we've not left much time to think about hobbies anymore. You know, you lose a sense of being able to implement that into your lives. So the 4-day work week, it would, and again, it's about organizations, companies, leaders of the future, looking at things through a very human lens and recognizing that, you know what, technology is an enabler. We can do this in a 4-day week. We do not have to be sat at our desks 5 days a week. Let's do this. Back themselves. However, what I would like to say is this is a mindset that companies would have to go on, because what Kath is a big advocate for is using the technology as an enabler for a 4-day work week, but people still getting paid for the 5.
Mm.
Right? So again, it's about, I think, the leaders of the future. It's very important about who ends up in these positions of power to be able to use the technology as a force for good for humankind.
Agreed.
As well. But she, I'm here for it as well. I think like menopause is something that's going to come to us all. And it's important for us who have not yet embarked on that journey to actually hear about the experiences and how it can impact your career, but also how women could feel supported in their careers throughout that particular phase of life, because it's just not something that people have ever felt really comfortable speaking about before.
No.
So it was fantastic to have that as a little bit of a topic at the Sisterhood Club social. And it was lovely to actually see so many people speak about it afterwards and feel comfortable enough to sort of share a few funny stories, right?
Correct.
If you can bring an element of humor to something as well, it's so relatable. And again, as soon as things are spoken about, it makes people feel less alone.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think as well, it's just that reminder that, you know, these women on this stage, they're no different to you and I.
Mm.
They are just women that have taken a few more risks, that have said yes, that have continued to work on themselves. They have the same emotions. They have the same, they go for the same things as you do. They are no different to you.
Mm-hmm.
And Kath made that very clear, you know, that she is a human being. They're just backed herself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And even when she backs herself, she still has those days where she doesn't feel good enough. She still has those days where she's doubting her abilities. Right. And I think that sometimes we put people on a pedestal and think, oh, I'm never going to be like that. And she's so amazing. It's like, well, you know, she might be a few steps ahead of you because she's spent some time working on herself and investing in her personal growth and learning a few new skills. But there's nothing stopping you from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kath breaking that down just is a pure moment of people to go, she is no different to me. And if she can do it, if she can take charge, if she can start a business, if, you know, Catherine can step up to be a CTO role, so can I. What's stopping me? And that's what I also want to achieve from these events of like, yes, put these women on a pedestal, on a panel, but not a pedestal,
mm-hmm.
right? They're on a panel, they're not on a pedestal. And mm-hmm. that's really important for me because I want the women to understand in that room that these women are no different to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a dream and if you want to achieve something, my God, you can. You just got to get out of your own way.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us on to Krithika. Mm-hmm. Talking about getting out of your own way. Oh my God, Krithika Hansen, Chief People Officer at Telstra Super. Now, I had her on the podcast, so I did know a few stories. And one of the stories that she opened up with, oh my God, I knew it was going to get a gasp because she tells a story where basically she was going for a job interview and the person that was putting her forward for this job interview basically just said, oh, we've had a bit of a change of plan. This job is now, you have to be fluent Spanish to take this job. And she was, you know, she only spoke English. She was just like, okay, well, I can learn that language in 6 weeks. In 6 weeks before she had the interview, she literally became fluent in Spanish. I was absolutely blown away when she first told us that story. I heard the gasps in the audience. And again, proof of we can do whatever we set our minds to do. It was such a powerful story when she shared that. I was like, wow.
Talk about backing yourselves.
Amazing.
And this is obviously before the times of having these apps that can coach us through language. She had to find the people that would actually speak to her in the language.
Exactly.
And I mean, honestly, what a journey. What a journey.
Just shows how resourceful we can get.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, she is incredible, right? Because she also shared the story about being a minority, how that felt, how she felt quite alone. But the thing I love about Krithika, she's not made that her identity. She's not made that her story. She has been like, yes, okay, maybe I have a few things that in unfortunately the world that we live in could go against me, but I am not going to let that stop me. And she just gives off this incredible energy, very warm energy, but I'm sure of myself energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the most powerful energy I think you can give off because it's the quiet confidence. It's that internal belief in herself and she oozes it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is inspiring to watch. It's inspiring to be in her presence. So Krithika, you're listening to this. Pam and I are in awe of you. You're incredible. The other thing that she said, and it was a story that she told about her son. And again, I was like, we're in the future. Her son is applying for university in America And to apply for the, to get into university, he didn't have to write an essay. He didn't have to, you know, do a big presentation. He had to basically use prompt, he had to prompt AI to basically get AI to almost write his application for him. So he had to be an amazing prompt engineer as opposed to somebody that wrote an essay from scratch. And I thought, how forward thinking that this university doesn't need you to go away and write a 600 word essay. Actually, we know that you're going to utilize AI. So instead of getting the same piece of essay from everybody, let's see how you utilize this technology. Let's see how you interact with this technology. That's the sort of person that we want at this university. And I think it was a wake-up call for us all.
Yeah.
To be like, the future's here.
Yeah.
Organizations, institutions are now embracing it. Mm-hmm. It's time to pay attention.
Do you know what I also loved about that story? Because I had honestly thought at one point, you know, with the future of tech, as humans, are we going to lose the ability to think for ourselves? Are we going to lose the ability to be creative? Are these tools just going to do all the intelligent stuff for us and we're left just doing the cleaning and the washing? Is that what life is going to come to? But the sentiment that I left after Critique had sort of given that example as well is that one thing that is going to remain as a skill that is constantly needed to develop the AI is linguistics, is language, is that power, the power of prompt engineering. That's ultimately what prompt engineering is, right? But I thought, right, that's fantastic, because we are still going to have to utilize our brains. We're still going to have to be creative. We're still going to have to use our brains. And I thought, right, that's how it's going to evolve. So that was a little bit of a piece of the puzzle for me to think, ah, right, so that's a career of the future. That's a role of the future. That's how it could evolve. Because that was honestly one of my fears. Are we actually all going to, what is that going to do to our brains if we don't really need to think that much anymore?
You were quite resistant to it, I remember, because I really wanted to use it to do a piece of work that we were tendering for. And you're like, we can't use it, we need to use our brains. I'm thinking, screw that, I'm using ChatGPT.
Yeah.
But it's good to admit that and be like, you were resistant.
Yeah.
But we can't afford that resistance anymore because it's here and we've got to embrace it. And
but you know what we're also all, what's instilled in all of our minds, our generation? Don't cheat, right? And I think when you first start using these tools, it can feel a bit, oh my God, am I doing this by myself? Can I submit that? I can understand how there's a mindset shift for our generation. What's that called when you copy something? You know, if you did an essay, but you'd copy someone else's work.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, it can feel for our generation because of how we've been had things drummed into us from an educational level. You know, you feel that you have to do everything from scratch and quote every single thing that you got from somewhere when you're writing an essay. So it can feel unusual, but by God, does it elevate what you do? Absolutely. Sometimes I could write something out and it reads quite well, and I'll maybe put it in and say, could you actually give this a more professional undertone? Boom! Oh my God, the way that it reads is just elevated from what I had entered. So it's a really powerful tool.
Yeah, you've definitely got more of a program than that than I have, but you went to secondary then university, whereas I left school at 16.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I feel like I've got like a different headspace on my shoulder to be like, I don't want to work hard. I want to work smart.
Yes.
And if AI can help me work smart, I'm all about it. But I also think that, it's you're so right that education system that we all had and our sort of like age group had from like, you know, sort of mid to late 30s, we were told, you know, keep your work to yourself. Don't peer over. You got detention if you were looking at someone else's work. And it's like, actually, it's interesting. But we definitely need to overcome those programs because we do need to embrace this technology. But final thing that I'll just say about Kritika is that she was such a big advocate for stepping outside your comfort zone, pushing yourself, constantly be learning and evolving as well. Like, you think she's got a full-time job as the chief people officer at Telstra Super, which is a massive role. She's got a family and she still makes the time to invest in her learning and her growth. And I was like, incredible. And that's why she is where she is.
It right? is, yeah. And you could get like at the end with the Q&A, and the audience actually asked a really amazing question, and it all came back to ethics. Mm. And Kritika had actually just completed an ethics leadership course. Mm. I mean, definitely listen to it, because how she answered that question was yeah. so intelligent. She brought like a certain dynamic to it. Mm. But again, I was just constantly getting the sentiment from Kritika that she's a lifelong learner. And yeah, is AI her job? No, but is she immersing herself in it? Absolutely.
Correct.
You know, and that is someone that you want in a C-level role in your organization as
100%. Well. 100%. Because she's walking the talk, right? She's not being like, as an organization, we need to embrace this. She is embracing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely, hats off. So like, they were the three panelists. Now, like I said, if you haven't listened to that episode yet, you need to go back and listen to it. And don't just listen to it passively. Actually listen to it when you can take notes, when you can think about what you want to implement, because it was incredible. It mm-hmm. really, really was. But just to round off the podcast today, I just also do want to take a moment. Obviously, we thank the panelists, but I also want to thank our sponsors, right? 7-Eleven, they have been a sponsor from day one. And they literally bought into us, Pam, when we were running events at the RMIT of 50 people. Mm-hmm. They saw the vision. They wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to support us. And I will always be incredibly grateful for that business and the people in it. Mary Matthews, I'm going to give a shout out to you, because they backed us from the beginning. And I will always be extremely grateful for 7-Eleven. Our recent partnership with UniSuper has been beautiful. We've met so many incredible people in that business now. Sass, Matt, Andreas, like some really, really big advocates for women in technology. Love the work that we're doing with Sister Club. So I just cannot speak high enough of UniSuper. And finally, obviously, our recruitment company, CH Solutions, and all of our clients, because without the support of them choosing to recruit with purpose, we wouldn't be able to do what we do, right? Like, these events come together. They're not cheap to run. They are expensive things to do, especially the way we want to do them. And without the support of our sponsors and our recruitment partners at CH Solutions, we wouldn't have an event. We wouldn't have a podcast. We wouldn't have a mentorship program. So thank you to every single person that has supported us so far. And I guess mine and Pam's, I guess, way of thanking you is to make sure that we continue to work on ourselves. We continue to listen to your feedback. We continue to get better. We continue to think about who can we get on this podcast? Who does our community want to hear from? Who can we have on our panel? How many more women can we get into our mentorship program to help them rise and thrive, right? So yeah, I just want to just take a moment to say thank you, because it really does warm my heart to know that we've got the backing of some incredible people out there flying our flag and helping us with our mission. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll back that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like, I can't speak high enough of every single person in those businesses, but next event next year. So, you know, we'll just ride this high for a little while longer, and then it'll be planning. We've got a massive year. We're going to actually do another podcast, Pam and I, about setting yourself up for success in 2025, really sort of thinking about what you need to do to make that happen. So that'll be our next podcast. And we'll have a think about when the next event's going to be. We're also going to be running another mentorship program in the new year as well, which will be kicking off in February. So we've got some work to do around that. But yeah, it's going to be an amazing year. It's been an incredible year this year. And that event just gone was definitely one of my highlights of the year. So thank you to everyone who came. Thank you to the community. We love you. We think you're amazing. And we will see you at the next one. Please keep tuning into these podcasts. And if you could do me and Pam one favor, one give back that we would really deeply appreciate, leave us a rating, leave us a comment on this podcast on Spotify or Apple. I couldn't tell you the exact steps you need to do it, but I know it's quite easy on Spotify just to leave a review. So if you could do that for us, that would be amazing. And we will speak to you all again soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thank you so much for doing that. that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you. Thank you.